Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network, sponsored by TBILaw.com.
For automatic reminders about this radio show and other great survivor events,
sign up now for TBIFM.org.
When Attorney Gordon Johnson speaks about recovery, he isn't talking about the amount of money a survivor gets from a lawsuit or settlement. He is talking about getting better from the brain injury. Find him on the web at TBIGore.com or call 800-992-9447.
And now, it is time for another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show.
Beep, beep, beep. Greetings from the balmy Midwest where we are at, I think about 6 degrees. 8 inches of snow, frozen snow and ice on the ground, windy. It is a pleasure. Not anyone out there suffering from a little sensory overload on the day after? I feel like sometimes I get an emotional hangover. I'm not sure if any of you have ever experienced that, but it's one that doesn't involve alcohol. It's one that involves too much sensory overload, too much full basket syndrome, and a mind that goes a million miles an hour that just won't slow down. This morning I was likening the month of December to a balloon. Right when you first get the balloon and you start blowing a little air, a little air, a little air, and throughout the month of December that balloon gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it's about ready to burst right around Christmas time, and then the day after, all of that we worked ourselves up over and had joy over, depression over, isolation over, happiness over, whatever the feelings we had that surrounded Christmas, the Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever your pleasure. And now there's that kind of letdown the day after, or tired, I think, you know, for me, just tired. In fact, last night it was kind of funny. One of the ways that I exhibit those things, Tuesday, our fabulous host, Les Paul, did a long show for Christmas. Yeah, it was Christmas yesterday, for God's sake. You can see it's kind of worn on me. You'll have to bear with me a little bit tonight, and hopefully I'll have some other half-baked guests calling in. You that still all have your sanity will have to just sit back. But in any case, last night he had a great show, and quite a few of us were there on Christmas night, and we were late. We all stayed up kind of late. We were tired. And I checked Facebook right after, and I saw, you know, how it shows you when someone, a friend, has a birthday. And there was someone who I had gone to high school with, and I happened to notice up in the right corner that it was her birthday. It was a half hour past midnight here. And so, DJ, can you guys hear me out there? Am I talking to myself out there? Okay, somebody's hearing me. Sorry about that. I guess somebody's having some technical difficulty out there. Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you for asking. I can't type, too. This is part of what I'm leading up to. So anyway, this gal, Lori, was having a birthday. And so what I wanted to type was, "Happy birthday, Lori. Enjoy your day." And today I got an email where she said, "Thank you, Kim. Did I change my name?" And I didn't know what she was talking about. And I went and looked at my post, and what I had typed was, "Happy birthday, Lori. Enjoy your name." And gosh, I really didn't realize. Has those white appliances. I know I'm not HGTV correct. They should be stainless, but they're white appliances. That pass-through room is the one that I call it. And some of you know that I made my twice-a-year meal for my parents, the honey-baked ham with all the sides yesterday, and we were sitting down for Christmas dinner, and there was two kinds of potatoes, the honey-baked ham, the potatoes au gratin, the what's that killer thing I just love, that sweet potato casserole thing with the brown sugar and marshmallows and all the decadent stuff in it. And then, like that broccoli and cheese casserole. My point is, I'm putting the food on my plate, and I thought I took a little out of each container. And then I looked at my plate, and I started laughing because I had double-dipped on the sweet potatoes and spaced off the potatoes au gratin. So I looked at my plate and I just kind of laughed, and I thought, boy, this is really wearing on me more than I realize, because I'm screwing up a lot of things all of a sudden, a lot of different things. And for those of you that have heard me on the air the last couple nights, you've also caught me with my tea kettle, where I've put the tea kettle on the stove, walked away, and then you've all heard it screaming after I've forgotten it. Tonight I want you to know two things. First of all, I did it before I got on the show. And second of all, I switched tonight from cocoa to green tea. So hopefully you won't be hearing that whistle blow, and I won't be getting cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs like I was the other night. And I do have someone, who's called in but doesn't have his hand up, somewhere in a warmer climate, hint, hint. Well, okay, if our friend wants to talk, press 1 and I will put you on. But in any case, where was I? Forgetting, yes. Information overload, emotional hangover, and good guess, Sarah, from the chat room. Somebody in a warmer climate. There's a few people in our audience who've been gigging me a bit about, yes, he's doing it again. It was 70 degrees today. Talks about how he has that sliding glass door open. And tonight, my husband and I, just when I was out of steam, especially last night, staying up late, I got up and had this just emotional hangover today, and I realized that I had forgotten one of my, well, I'll just tell you, my 30-year class reunion was in the summer, and I went to that, and a group of those people have kind of kept in touch now with the advent of Facebook, and they decided some of them were going to be in from out of town, and we'd meet at a pizza joint tonight for dinner. So I'm just getting home a few minutes ago, and I was so tired. I just didn't think I was going to be able to do it. But we got out of the car, and I said to Gary, my husband, "Oh my God, why do I live here?" I was born and raised here in Nebraska, and one of our regular listeners and contributors, Sarah, was just talking about how she really likes the four seasons. And I'd like to, if I could design things, I would keep spring and fall. Summer's too hot and has nasty bugs. And so that's something that you have, DJ. You probably have bugs that you can put a saddle on down there in the summer. So I'll be gigging you back come summertime, since you're teasing me so badly this winter. Spring, anyway, life comes back. Everything's so cold and dark, and I find it more challenging to keep the mood up and easier to get tired. And then especially we get around the holidays from, you know, Thanksgiving to New Year's, and it's just that 100-mile-an-hour thing. And if you've got a mind that already kind of runs 100 miles an hour, where you have to really practice mindfulness and being in the moment, staying where your hands are, like some of us talk about, just to kind of slow down and remember to breathe, then times like the last month or two are challenging. You know, they're challenging because, you know, there's certain words that I don't like to use when it comes to survivors, and I'll call them challenges or residuals, things that we have left over that make our life a little more complicated than it was before. And under stress, the volume goes up on those things. Like if I'm forgetful on a regular day, then obviously I'm even more forgetful on other days and start doing that thing, typing, you know, seeing the word in my mind and then typing the wrong word or transposing numbers. And I was talking a little bit. Such is my life. Can you guys hear me now? I've abandoned my headset and called in, and I'm hoping that you guys are able to hear. And then I'll try to remember where I was coming from. Somebody type in if you can hear me now. Want to know how broken we are. I tried to unmute DJ because I knew he was on the line. I was going to have him talk a little bit while I tried to get back into the studio, but... Gee, and he's just spinning. I have a feeling if you guys aren't hearing me that I will have to try to log back in. Let's see. I will pose the question and maybe I will play a song for you if I'm able. This song is called How About... You're never, no, you know what I think I'll do tonight? Something that we all have is a guardian angel. And you guys know that I always close my show with a few moments of a song by Leah West. I encourage you to check her out, leahwest.com. I closed the last 51 seconds of my show with a segment of her song, Guardian Angel, and I think I'll play the whole thing right now and see if I can get the studio back. If somebody else is logged into the studio, you might want to log out so I can get back in. This song is called Guardian Angel. I'll play it in its entirety, 4 minutes and 45 seconds.
Hello.
Okay, you guys are live.
What? Playing Mario in the Luigi.
DJ,
hi, everybody. This is Les Paul. I'm just filling in temporarily.
Hey, Les.
Hi, how are you doing?
I didn't know
that we're experiencing our nightly, not nightly, we're experiencing some technical difficulty, I see. Who am I speaking with?
It's DJ. I called in a little while ago, but then when she started having a little bit of trouble to maybe see if we can get a few of us to a little bit. We do seem to have some of these problems. I really would love to see them get worked out because we've got a lot of great information to put out. We got a lot of great guests to have on, and I just really love to see some of this stuff get worked out. I don't know.
I know, because Kim just pours her heart into this, and I know she feels frustrated right now when this happened. She was just getting started. Well, I guess we can fill in and talk about something for right now. Would you like to talk, or?
I didn't have a lot to say other than next month I will be, on the fourth Monday, I'll be interviewing Brent Fuse from New York. He wrote a protocol for all first responders, ambulances, fire trucks, policemen, and he's going to try to get it nationally known. And I think a great way to do that is to get it out on Brain Injury Radio. And that's one thing I plan on doing. And some of the other shows, hopefully, we'll get some more quality guests on, and we'll just all try to keep doing a great job. I mean, I've learned a lot over the last few months. So have I.
I mean, this is sometimes I call it a tool, but I call it a life lesson when I think about it. And I know Kim, she's always so full of wisdom, and she's just a cool lady to listen to, and I feel disappointed that she's having this trouble, but it just happens from time to time, and it would be nice to get some of those kinks worked out really fast.
Well, I know I'm not signed in. If you're signed in as a host, which none of us should be because it's not our night,
the only
one that should be signed in is, maybe Craig or Kim. But
I see my name on the screen.
Right, and that's how you know, because I've done it before. After my typing or my posting, it said Brain Injury Radio, and I'm like, uh-oh. And I jump right out. But I've learned now. I mean, I know how to get in.
I've had that same thing happen a couple of times.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if someone has done that. I'm looking at the screen right now, and I see Brain Injury 1 Network at the top.
I don't even have the live chat. I keep refreshing, and I don't have the live chat. Something's wrong.
Okay. I see the whole thing right now. We have four guests on.
Finally got it figured out. I should have been able to do it the other night, but I hadn't done it since I was at my parents' house. But there's a way to tether a smartphone. You plug it into your phone and then into the USB into the side of your computer, and then you plug the computer into the wall, obviously, for more power.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know that.
Phone Wi-Fi hotspot. Get all that done. I'm not getting Verizon coming in until tomorrow. The guy told me that out of 16, I don't know, boards or something in my area, mine was the only one out. That's perfect. I got a show to do in about an hour.
That figures.
We run into stuff all the time where, we're not quite sure how we got there, but we do figure out a way to get out and keep moving on. And
that's so true what you just said. Being a brain injury survivor, you have to learn how to modify your life to fit in. I'm everything about my life, everything I thought would work out right, it seemed like there's 19 other ways to go at it before I even began to find a way to make it work.
Yep, and as somebody told me, the psychiatrist from the University of South Florida told me, he said, you were in the military for 6 years. He said, you're going to have to go back to basic training. You're going to have to do A, and get done with A, then you go to B. When you're done with B, go to C. But don't try to do A and then skip to C and then go to F and back to D and then try to finish B. It doesn't work. If you're making toast in the toaster, you better stay near that toaster. If you're doing your dishes, do your dishes. Even laundry. I have to have a laundry outlet in my, or a laundry machine, washing machine and dryer in my apartment, because when I was living at the brain rehab outpatient, they had a little center where you go down, you pay for your laundry.
Okay.
I 3 or 4 days later, I'd go and I'd look for my socks. I had no socks. I'm like, where's my socks?
Oh my! I don't mean to laugh, but you remind me of myself, so I see what you mean.
You know, get out in the laundry room, and you know, people have graciously put your laundry up on the washing machine, but now it's been there for so long, it really needs to be washed again.
Oh, gosh. I can picture that. I really can.
Hello. Are people still here?
Yes, we've been kind of filling in a little bit for you, so we're going to let you have it right back.
Actually, thank you. I didn't even know you could do that, but thank God you could. I'm not quite sure what happened. Skype dropped me, and then the server dropped me, so I've been trying to get back in.
Well, you're here.
Apologize for the technical difficulty, everyone.
It's a thing called life.
Yeah, I've about had it, man.
Challenges are challenging.
Yeah, they're really challenging. I was just talking about full basket syndrome, so I didn't, like, throw this computer out in a snowdrift, and oh no, it's saying connecting to server again in the chat room. Well, anyway, whoever's also got the controls, you may want to stick around. This isn't good. So what are we talking about? Any of you guys had any overload?
We were just talking about some things we've gone through. We were talking about, in a sense, you say full basket syndrome a minute ago. Well,
yeah.
He was just explaining about losing his laundry in a laundry basket, in a sense. We were just literally talking about that.
Yeah,
laundry basket?
Well,
yeah.
When I was in brain rehab, the place was not really set up for brain rehab. They didn't have outpatient apartments that were fully furnished. CCS did, and they had washer and dryer in the unit. But when I went to CommuniCare, they bring you out into the community and they ask you just to find an apartment complex you might like. You have just left ICU, 30 days of hell south. You don't have one stick of furniture and very little in the way of, you know, any other items. You know, you might have clothes. But then they put you in an unfurnished apartment, and then they bring you to, you know, what's the Habitat for Humanity and some of the cheaper furniture shops. And I said, well, how long am I going to be here? And you don't know. Yeah, it was more confusing being in brain rehab than it was being alone in the house. You know, what happened the other night with the internet, it's still broken. There's nothing I can do about that. But what I could do right away real fast was do what I did tonight, is tether my cell phone, which is a PDA phone. You can directly line your cell phone, and it's got a dual cord at the end. You can plug the USB end into the forked end, and it either becomes a charger or a USB. You know, some of the more expensive phones have that type of capability, but I have a Wi-Fi hotspot, and I was so out of my mind the other night that I just didn't stop, take my time, go to A, all right, plug everything in, and then get it tethered up. And I still would have had a signal on my laptop, but you know, I just can't do things fast anymore. New things bother me more now than ever, and that used to be my specialty. Is do I need a job? Okay, get dressed, brush your teeth, and go do a great interview. I never got interviewed for a job that I didn't get before I got hurt. And that's quite a thing to say, because everybody goes on job interviews and they don't get the job. But I never did. And now you go to a job interview, you can't even tell them what hours you can work. You know, that's how off we are. And so I sympathize with you, Kim. You know, that's why I think Craig turned on our mics and said, go for it.
Yeah, good. No, I'm glad. I didn't even know if I was going to be able to get back in, because when I even rebooted and everything, and it wouldn't connect to the server. So,
hi, Kim.
Hello, Keith Anthony. I said, it makes me so mad when my WIC is already short, and
I
laughs.
That
it's a good thing he's not sitting next to me.
At least he didn't say fuse.
When you couldn't get in, I dialed in as co-host, so that's me that's on the board. But it looks like you've got another co-host as well. I'm not sure what's happening.
Craig grabbed it.
So, well, I did as well. So maybe I should dial out as co-host.
Yeah, because I'm not sure how we're all doing that. I dialed in. I just skipped the Skype and dialed in with my telephone to the host number.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe I'm I'm not sure what's happening here, but I thought you were having. I thought that you've been quiet for a long time, so I thought I would come in and pick up the speaking bit.
I was, and I did. I lost the connection. Skype dropped me, and then it wouldn't connect to the server, so I was gone. But Craig jumped on and opened up the mics, and Les Paul and DJ have been carrying the show while I've been away trying to find my way back. I dropped breadcrumbs, but I stepped on them in the snow.
I seem to be in as the main host. Look at that.
I'm not sure how that works. I'm not even sure how I was able to call back in to my own show.
I just keep
then.
Going while you can.
Yep, that's what I figured. Well, I'm on the phone now, so Skype won't drop my call. That'll be one less thing to worry about.
So it must
about.
Be Craig and Mia controlling the switchboard, and you're just dialed in as a guest then, I guess.
Well, I dialed in to the host number.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Well, there is a way that we can try it, though. If you guys let me try it, we've got somebody with their hand up at area code 765. You're on the air. What do you have to say for yourself? 765, your mic did unmute. I unmuted it.
But can you type in the chat box?
Is this me? You talking to me?
765, yes, I'm talking to you. You want to speak up? I'm having trouble over here.
Houston, we've got a problem.
Don't you be screwing with me now, you guys. I unmuted your mic and you had your hand up, 765. Speak up.
I can't do two things at once. I was typing in the chat box and I heard you say so. I said, well, that must be me.
That is you, Muffin.
Can I just ask you, Kim, are you doing the four-hour show today like I did and like... I've forgotten his name yesterday.
Les Paul.
Les Paul. Sorry, Les.
Christmas
are you doing
is
the
four-hour
show today?
No.
Oh, come on. Us guys are doing it.
Well, that's because you're guys. I'm just a wimpy girl, and I'm getting grumpy now. No, Christmas is over. I thought it was so that people weren't alone when they're depressed for Christmas. Now Christmas is over. Buck up.
Hey, I had some kind of unusual callers last night.
I heard that. I just missed that. God, that would be all.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe what some people said.
You're kidding. Did you mute them? What'd you do to them?
I was thinking they were regular and regular people just calling in. It was people that were pranksters a couple of times.
Yeah. Well, what we did actually, Les Paul, didn't we? We managed to find out where they lived.
Yeah.
And we know a local dominatrix who's got a big strap on that's going to go around and have a good chat with them.
Great. Google Earth. Love that Google Earth. Oh, geez. All right. So DJ definitely had full basket syndrome and lost it, lost his laundry. did any of you, anyone else feel a little worn out today?
I was insane with the migraine most of the day, but it's gone now. I can't believe it.
I had a migraine, too, and it's on the way out, fortunately.
Yay.
Yeah, that is good. Well, we can take another shot and see if we can find, let's see, she said, hey, I did, too. This must have been the day for migraines, although I know kind of where mine was coming from today, but not my usual migraine, a different migraine. But let's see about area code 484. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Hi, Kim. It's just Jenny.
Oh, thank God. You're not a troll or a Barbie doll.
But she said something bad. She said just. It's not just.
Yeah, I told you that earlier. You said something about just. You're...
Oh, no, it's not... A negative. It is a positive because I used to be Jennifer. And now, after my injury, I've come to a realization and a calmness that all I am is just Jenny, and it's going to be just Jenny's world.
Okay.
So you want us to call you just Jenny?
That's all I am, is just Jenny.
Okay, just Jenny.
I thought she meant just Jenny, not a troll, which was a relief to me that she was just Jenny and that she wasn't somebody calling to screw around on the airwaves.
Do you want us to call you Jenny or just Jenny?
Well,
J-Jenny?
I thought that just Jenny is probably more of like a Kim in a Flash, you know. It's kind of like a name that I can put above my head that says it's me.
Okay, well, you can be whoever you want to be. You know, that's pretty cool. When we get a do-over, I'm also not going to prolong this, but you guys have heard that the 23rd, the day before Christmas Eve, I found out that a friend of mine who had been having some vision problems went into the hospital to get some tests and was ordered directly from the hospital to the hospice. And she went blind over a period of 3 days, and now she's waiting until the rest of her brain gets eaten away by inoperable tumors, cancer. And I went to see her today, and that was hard. And what I started to say when the screen kicked me off, when the show kicked me off, was, you know, that over the holiday, you know, my dad has Parkinson's, and I went to see my friend Marty. It's a lady, Marty, today at the hospice, and I was noticing memory issues all around me, and it's usually me who has the memory issues, and people saying, "I just told you that. Aren't you listening?" You guys ever hear that one? Or
yeah,
you know, all those comments that you get for being the one that that can't hear. And I was noticing this with people around me, and I was feeling bad because those two people have something progressive, you know. And it was hard. I was telling you that I've been not depressed. You know, we get to a certain age, and around the holidays, we've all had some rough ones and some good ones, you know, at least, you know, a little good and a little bad. And I've been having a really good one, and the last couple days have been kind of hard. And, you know, today I've got to say I saw some true grace. I haven't been in this position before, and so I was sitting there visiting with her and asking her how she reacted to that news. I mean, it was out of the blue. She didn't get to go home. She got a beautiful condo and lots of, you know, stuff. You know, Sarah was talking last week about the materialism of Christmas and that sort of thing, and this lady has a lot of stuff. And I said, how did you react? Because she was just having blurry vision. She had no idea. And I was thinking back, you know, to the day I got up. I get a little edgy around this time of year because it was January 9th, the same kind of weather we're having right now, you know, just blistering cold with the snow and the dark and all of that business. And I got up for a regular day of work on a Monday was feeling pretty chipper, trying, you know, it was hard to get my head back in the game after the holidays, you know, for work, but I was there doing my deal. And, you know, sometime in the middle afternoon, my brain exploded. You know, I had a ruptured brain aneurysm that day, and it changed the rest of my life. So this time of year, I get a little edgy because I get more headaches and migraines and pain issues because of the cold weather here. And, you know, I come around January 9th and I always like, I don't know, you know, because it can happen anytime. Like I've said before, none of us have a guarantee. We get up in the morning and we don't know that we're going to be there at the end of the day. And that's why I encourage people to live their life and not watch it from the sideline or have any regrets. I've got a T-shirt I wear a lot, and it says, "No regrets." And I've got another shirt that I wear a lot that says, "I am blessed." And, you know, there's a couple people I know that aren't going to be getting a second chance. And we did. You know, we got a second chance. We're all here. And for any of the bumps and bruises, physically or psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, that we might have encountered along the way, we are here today. And, you know, with God's grace, we'll be here tomorrow. And when I was visiting with Marty today, I asked her how that felt. And, you know, she had such grace about the whole thing. You know, she went in with just a little blurry vision, and she's told, you've got an inoperable brain tumor. Do not go home. Do not pass go and collect $100. Go straight to the hospice, and you're going to die. And
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
The reason I interrupted, Kim, is my mother had an inoperable tumor in her brain also. And when we found out, they said they gave her 2 to 3 months left to live when she found out. She kept going to doctors and saying something's wrong. They say, you're just old, Mrs. Morgan. She was 86, but she was, up until a few months earlier, she was very young acting, very fun to be around. She wore high-heel shoes at 86. I mean, she was fun. She dressed up everywhere she went. She was a cool lady. And when she started getting very ill, I kept saying, what's going on, Mom? She said, I don't know. Well, they found out she had cancer. It was I don't remember what it's called, but it was the fastest kind there is. And so when they put her in a nursing home, and my mother kept saying, Les Paul, where do you work? I said, what do you mean you know where I work? And I think, oh, gosh, she's forgetting things. She doesn't know where I work. And she said, you work at an independent living center. You get people out of nursing homes.
Oh.
I said, yes. And then it dawned on me, she wanted to come home.
Yep.
And so she came home with me for 2 weeks, and we had to get some assistance to come help me.
Sure.
I was up night and day, but those 2 weeks were two of the most beautiful weeks of my whole life because it gave me an opportunity to help her, who'd helped me so many times through my brain injury and everything, and it was hard. But she studied me the whole time. She said, Les, if you think I'm watching you, I'm doing it on purpose. I want to see you before I die. She said, I've loved you all my life, and I'm going to study you. And I said, my goodness, Mom, stop it. And, I mean, I'd have to go out of the room and cry myself because I love this dear lady.
Yeah.
And so how far along is, who was it you said, a family member or?
Well, this lady that my friend Marty, it's a lady, she's the one with the inoperable cancer who's in the hospice who I went to visit today. My
okay.
father has Parkinson's, and hopefully he'll have it a lot longer, I guess. There's not a cure for it.
Yeah.
But it was Marty I was talking to, and unfortunately she has no family at all.
Oh, okay.
So she doesn't have the opportunity. You were truly blessed to have the 2 weeks. Yeah, Jennifer, and I spoke with Jennifer earlier, and, you know, what do you say, really, you know? So I said, you know, Marty doesn't pull any punches like I don't. He never has, and so I asked her, you know, how she felt about that when she was given that news. And she said, well, none of us gets out of this alive, and there's nothing I can do about it. So
life is dangerous.
I'm here.
Yeah.
And so there, another lady, another friend came with me, and we brought some scented lotion. I teased her a little bit, and I said, I hear when one of the senses goes that sometimes the others get stronger. And we rubbed some scented lotion on her hands and on her face, and had a rose. My friend Sally had brought a rose. Her daughter had gotten her a dozen roses for Christmas.
Aww.
She pulled one out and brought it to Marty, and I put it under her nose and asked her if she could smell it. And she could smell it a little bit, but what really she liked was when I pulled off a couple of the big petals And I took her hand and I put the petals in her hand between two of her fingers and told her to rub those and how soft they were, and it makes the smell come out more. And she just held those rose petals and had such a peaceful smile on her face.
Oh.
And I prayed she wouldn't have to stay here long.
Yeah.
And anyway.
Jim?
Yeah, Jen?
What I wanted to do is, because I know that Sarah had mentioned on the chat line she didn't understand the full basket syndrome. And what I wanted to say is, I experienced it yesterday. And what it is when you get overloaded and it's too much in your basket to handle. And yesterday I spent the day grieving for my past, my losses, the people that I knew, and what I was able to do, and everything I had lost with my injury. And instead of me pushing it away and not feeling it, I went ahead and spent the whole day crying and absorbing and letting it wash over me. I mean, just sniveling like a little baby. And I was able to understand and comprehend why I was feeling the way I did. And I knew that at the end of the day, after being on Brain Injury Radio Network and the support I get from you guys, I was able to wake up today feeling washed clean with a new plate. Okay, my life has just started and I get to live. I took a shower, a full bath, I did laundry, and I'm putting my house and my ducks in a row and putting my house in order, and that is a way of putting myself in a way that I'm looking forward to my new life.
There you go.
I emptied my basket.
Yeah, you emptied your basket, and I think that's,
that's great.
That's a really good example, too, and I think, you know, for me, Sarah, full basket syndrome is like that. When I have so many emotions coming at me once, there was a book once called I'm Dancing as Fast as I Can, and it was, you know, when the coping skills just kind of go haywire. It's like pouring a Coke on your keyboard, you know, of your computer, just fried. Too many, sometimes for me it can be too many new things to learn, too many experiences, too intense of a variety of emotions hitting me all at once. A lot of things can go into full basket syndrome. It just means not operating at an even keel, but feeling overwhelmed for whatever your reason would be. And I've noticed a lot of us survivors have been compromised a little emotionally. I'm not speaking for everybody. I'll just speak for myself. You know, I think sometimes, especially when I'm tired or stressed, I seem to feel the emotions so much more intensely and can't control them, can't wish them away. They're there, you know, and like Jenny was talking about when she cried, you know, there's been a lot of hard things, and I haven't allowed myself that time, you know, to have that day that you had yesterday. And I have a feeling it's coming, but, you know, there's always been a part of me that feels like once I start, it might never stop, you know, and that's not a healthy attitude, you know. I mean, I don't think anyone ever died from crying, but, or why that's intimidating to me. Maybe growing up in a showbiz family and then going into sales where you never let them see you sweat, that it's hard to be vulnerable. And that was one of the lessons in a brain injury in the first place, is taking a lot of people who were very independent in the past and forcing them to have some level of dependence. And you know, some changes in the way that the mind works. I'm going to check and see if area code hasn't had their hand up, but they have been holding for 36 minutes, so we had another caller drop. So area code 302, did you want to speaking. If you do, great. If you don't, I'll put you back on hold. Who do we have? Okay.
It's a quiet one.
Area code 302. If you decide you'd like to talk, press 1, and I'll go ahead and put you back on hold. I just wanted to make sure because you've been so patient holding. So, again, if anybody calls in, the phone number, if you'd like to join into the conversation here, is 424-243-9540. And when you call in, press 1, and that'll let one of us know on the switchboard that you'd like to talk. And we encourage you to do so.
Kim, I wanted to mention with the full basket syndrome, with having all the emotions, a lot of us tend to, and I realized this yesterday, we tend to push it aside and hold it in. But if we keep holding it in, we will eventually explode in an unnatural, unhealthy way. So we have to find a safe place in our home where we can just let it out and just cry, get past it.
Yeah, and you know, that's the interesting thing. Some of you were talking about married and some single and some dating and some living together now, various degrees of partnerships. And I spent most of my life single. So, you know, after the brain injury and the trial marriage that I got myself into right in back of my brain injury.
Can I give you a tip, Kim?
Next
time, don't just have a trial marriage. Make sure you get a judge, because when you get a judge, you also get a jury. much better plan.
Yeah, well, I meant it to be the real thing. I had waited till I was 35. I really thought I was going to grow up, get married, and have a family. That's what my plan was. I was independent, successful, busy doing my life, and I kept thinking later, later, later. And then I have this ruptured brain aneurysm at 35, and I thought, oh my God, I almost died and didn't grow up, get married, and have a family. And the guy I was dating at the time asked me to marry him, and I thought I better do that, you know, get on my life's plan as I had seen it since I was a child. And it didn't work out that way, you know, things didn't work out that way. So,
can I just say, guys, if you're listening, have you ever noticed the way everything's wonderful when you're dating a woman? They never mention children until they've got that ring on your finger and you're married.
Well, I think it might be an assumption. Otherwise, why would you bother when you're
young?
I'm just
kidding, Kim. I'm just kidding.
Well, anyway, that marriage didn't produce a lasting relationship or any children. So I've decided that having your brain explode isn't a sufficient reason to get married. Most people can't do it on their best days. So walking into it in back of a half moon sliced out of your face isn't a very good time to try to cope with what's happened to you, the consequences of your new life, and then try to, how do you get along with another person? But, you know, then I basically spent from 98 until 2004 living on my own, and when I had that full basket syndrome, I could come home to my house where I lived on my own and have those kind of days like you had, Jennifer. I guess there's some feeling of risk or fear or something. I don't know. This is one I guess I haven't dumped in the shrink boneyard yet or something. but you know, just not feeling comfortable doing that with someone in the house, you know, with someone else in the house. And I know that in some ways that smacks of not being honest, but you know, when someone lives with you, they do know you. You know, he knows when I'm having a hard time. I don't have to draw a map and go through all the details. He knows that I'm either overwhelmed because he looks at me and I look like if he said boo, I'd burst into tears, or I've got steam coming out my ears and am slamming the door a little too hard when I come in, so he knows that something has ticked me off. So, you know, he's not stupid, but, you know, I don't come home anymore and burst into tears for hours at a time because I'd have to explain. And I spent most of my life not feeling I needed to explain anything to anybody. And then right after I had the brain injury, I tried real hard to explain to a lot of people, family members, doctors, friends. And unless anyone's walked in your moccasins, they don't get it. So I stopped explaining. And for a long time, I think I stopped feeling because it was just too hard, too painful, you know, to feel those feelings. But obviously, it's therapeutic instead of going around feelings to go through it. And as tempting as it is to practice avoidance and not want to go there, a lot of people wind up self-medicating or committing suicide, or what Jennifer said, they wind up building up, building up, building up, not letting it out, and then wind up with some other kind of health problem. In fact, that's what eventually brought me to my knees and away from my career. I worked for quite a while after the ruptured brain aneurysm and, you know, tried to go about my regular life, but I wasn't sharing those feelings. There wasn't a support group. Internet and all of that wasn't on everybody's desk, you know, back in the 90s, the way it is now, the middle 90s. And I didn't have an outlet, you know, and I started getting sick from other things. You know, I started having the migraines, and I started having gastro problems, and then I started having arthritis problems, and it seemed like every other month I was having some physical, what I call now a physical manifestation of my undealt with emotions. And I think that, you know, last night they were talking about, you guys were talking a little bit about counseling, and some people were saying, you know, that they had just started or, you know, had thought about going to talk to someone about it. And it isn't that, at least in my experience, it's not that any of these people have the answers. You know, God, if they only had that magic wand that could take life back, you know, or move it ahead, just bring some resolution. They don't have that. You know, basically, the way I see it, they're a pay-for dumping ground, you know, for the things I'm not coming home to do right now. And it's a place to sort out those feelings, because I know that you can actively practice denial and avoidance if you want to. You can sell yourself, especially if you got a background in sales, but even people that don't, you can want something so bad, like to be normal again, that you can almost convince yourself you are, while you're tripping over yourself and transposing all your letters and not able to find your car in the parking lot.
3 minutes to go.
Sorry?
Only 3 minutes to go.
Okay, great. Well, we'll be getting ready to roll into overtime. So for James, if James is still there, I'd like to give a reminder. If you would like to roll into the next hour of the show, you need to dial in 424-243-9540, or you can Skype into the show. The live callers will be dropping off the air in 3 minutes. I'd like to thank you all for being here. I apologize for the technical difficulty in the beginning. We want to thank our sponsor, Gordon Johnson, TBILaw.com. I'd like to thank you all for being here. I'm going to close the show in the way that I usually do, and that's with something that I believe that we all have, and that's a guardian angel. And in fact, I think what I'm going to do tonight, because Les Paul was talking about it, is I'm just going to let it fade over. I'm going to play the song in its entirety by Leah West. You guys might want to check out leahwest.com. She's wonderful. Please stay into the next hour if you can log in. Otherwise, live listeners, God bless. We'll see you next week or 7 nights a week. We have a different host and this show is here. This is Guardian Angel by Leah West. I'll be back on the other side of the hour in 4 minutes and 45 seconds. Thanks, you guys.
Little baby up in heaven, says the God. Do I really have to go? God replies, yes, it's your time to leave. But don't you worry, you won't be there alone. You see, there's someone who's been waiting for you. Quietly hoping and praying for your sweet and safe arrival down on earth. Everyone is born with a guardian angel. On her wings she'll let you soar higher than
was Leah West with Guardian Angel, and Leah is gracious enough to allow us to play her music. She gave me her permission in writing and is happy to support Brain Injury Radio. So check out her site, leahwest.com. Maybe buy a tune or two off of iTunes if that's possible. She's a cool gal, and maybe sometime we'll be a guest. That particular song, Guardian Angel, was on a, what do you call it, Whatchamadinger free site. I accidentally found it when I was making the trailer for my book, and wound up contacting her, and she was relatively new in her career. She had a bit of a head start on me, and we've had several conversations. She's a great gal, lives up in Canada, and has a lot of neat tunes, and her career is really taking off. Beautiful gal, so we want to thank Leah for allowing us to use her songs on our show. And when I first heard that, you can look at it literally, Guardian Angel, you can call her mother, but the way that I felt the song when I heard it was the feminine side of my higher power, who I choose to call God. And, you know, before I heard that song, I had kind of a spiritual epiphany, because I used to envision God as a man, you know, the pictures that we've seen from the time that we were a kid. And so I had this masculine ideation of what God was like. And when I heard this song, it was kind of a mini spiritual awakening, because when she was talking about Guardian Angel and the way that she states things, and she is a singer-songwriter, she did write that song, I suddenly saw God in a different way. And when Les Paul in the chat room said that it's almost like she's speaking to us survivors, that would be not only the masculine side of God, but the nurturing, more feminine side of God. And so I like to believe, especially that everybody has a guardian angel, whether that angel is taking them to the other side, yeah, or that angel is the one that kept us here on this side. But I believe in them, and so thus the natural closing for my show. And tonight I thought I'd share the whole song, since you were talking about your literal mom earlier, Les Paul, and we certainly all sorry, I can't read two at the same time.
Oh.
send me her YouTube. You know, I don't know if she has this. I will look it up, Jennifer, and see if it's on YouTube, but I actually bought her song off of iTunes, so I'm not sure if Leah's on YouTube or not. I bought a number of her songs, just kind of trying to support her, since she was kind enough to let me use her song for my book trailer. I thought the least I could do is reciprocate and buy a bunch of her good songs. So, yeah, well, and you can Google her, Sarah, or her website is, I'll type it in the chat room in a minute. It's leahwest.com, L-E-A-H-W-E-S-T. In any case, cool song. And
I can tell you something very quick about her that I just looked up.
Please.
Sia West of Canada, newest indie pop sensation. She won the People's Choice Award in Canada for last year.
Yes, she did. She did. She's great. I saw that. That's really good. And she's got a song. In fact, a little later in the show, if you want to hear it, another one that speaks to us that I have of hers in here is called I'm Not, I'm drawing a blank, I'm Not Invincible is what it's called, and we can certainly understand that too. And then there's a song that I just love called Spring, but I love to hear the song in the spring. It just makes me happy. It's one of those kind of songs that is perky and happy, and I'll bring that on the switchboard in the spring, and in a little while we'll play I'm Not Invincible, and I think you'll like that song too. But in any case, let's see, where were we? Well, it doesn't really matter where we were. We can start over. You know, and I found that about moods too. You know, I used to say, I'm having a bad day. And somebody pointed out to me once that I can make a decision to change my day any time during it. And I had to really think about that because, I mean, I thought you were committed. You know, if you were having a bad day, you had to be committed to the whole 24 hours.
You know? I had to think about that.
I know. It was a stumper. I'm like, what? Really? It was like the same person, I think, who told me that no was a complete sentence. I didn't get that either. These were really ponderables for me. Like, why do they call them buildings when they're built already? You know, it was one of those. I'm sitting there really having to think things over. And I got it one day, and it was a day like Jennifer was talking about. I was having a hard day. I was committed to this was a bad day, and something happened that made me laugh. I don't even remember. This was a long time ago. It was when I first understood the concept of having the power to choose to take action that will change a bad day into something different. Might not be the best day, but it won't be as bad. And it might even be a darn good day once you make that decision, because it's empowering to understand that you have a choice. And I think I didn't know I had a choice. If I was having a bad day, I was committed to the bad day and didn't think I could choose to feel differently. But I can. But with me, it's not just deciding to feel different, because I can't do that. I'm not powerful enough to do that. It means I have to precede that with taking some action. And sometimes that action is what you were talking about, Jennifer, calling into the show and sharing. Or it's reaching out a hand and going and visiting someone less fortunate. Or maybe something as simple as opening a door for the little old lady with groceries, you know, or even carrying her groceries, you know, to the car for her. Something that lifts you up instead of dwelling in the things that drag us down. And so I've practiced that a few times when I've been having a quote-unquote bad day, and that's something else I say a lot. I get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and when I get to that point, I know that I need to take some action. And my list is getting longer and longer and longer of the action I can take to do that, but I feel very grateful and empowered that somebody clued me in on the fact that I have that choice. What were you going to say, Jenny?
I was going to say, everybody feels like they have a bad day, but what I've realized is it's not a bad day. It's a bad, stuck moment, and we need something happy or helpful or something that refocuses us, that gets us out of that stuck moment, and then the bad day is gone, because we don't live day by day anymore. We live moment by moment now.
That's right. That's right. And I think, you know, one of the tools that I use when I'm in that place is a gratitude list. And I'm always surprised. You know, sometimes I think I don't want to let go of that bad day. You know, maybe I enjoy the pain or something. I don't know. Got accustomed to the pain. But, you know, I sit down physically. There's something also about not just rattling it off in your mind, but going through the physical action of picking up a paper and a pen, or going to your computer and typing whatever it takes, and writing down a gratitude list. And I usually make it 10 things, and at the moment I am forcing myself to make this gratitude list. You know, I'm holding my breath till I turn blue with my arms folded, and I don't even think I'm going to be able to think of one thing to be grateful for, because I'm having a bad day, God darn it. And I sit down and I start, you know, that first one's probably the hardest one coming when I'm in that mood, you know, to put down something on that gratitude list. But then after I've gotten the first thing down, you know, I ease into that second one, and then I start rattling them off on the list, and when I get to 10, I realize that there's several more off the top of my head that I could be putting down. I could make that list a lot longer, but at that point, you know, the trick's been turned. You know, I've been turned, because instead of staying and focusing in that whatever, self-pity, anger, sorrow, whatever it is, I give myself a break and try to inject some balance and feel gratitude. You know, there is a lot of bad, horrible things in the earth that I'm powerless over, that make my life unmanageable, but there's also a lot of joy on, you know, in this earth, and good people, you know, the people here, you know, that support each other, that come all the time and share our triumphs and share our the opposite of that, challenges. I keep losing the words. But in any case, we share, you know, we share the good and the bad, and we're able to identify and not feel isolated and alone. And, you know, that's a powerful stuff, you know, that's powerful recovery-based stuff, that it's all about, I think I say it in my program notes, that it's all about the we, it's not about the me anymore. And when I get in trouble, it's when I'm too far into the me and I forget about the we. And so there's always something in that gratitude list, things in that gratitude list that have to do with other people. And then I have an appreciation, you know, having good friends and good people in my life. There's a lot of people that don't, you know, they, for whatever reason, don't want to make that effort, don't want to take that risk, are just angry, bitter people, won't let the light of the spirit penetrate the darkness of their soul, you know, just all kinds of reasons. But there's also a lot of really genuine, kind souls that are out there. And whether they're family of origin people or the family of friends that we build in the connectedness out there, that those are the life rafts that keep us going. I think those are the life rafts that God throws us, because sometimes it feels like, for me anyway, feels like I'm drowning. And the thing that brings me out, yeah, lifelines, thanks. I know you guys are always so good when I can't find the word to give me that word I needed. But, yeah, lifelines. I was going to say life rafts, but I like lifelines better. Thank you for that. So, you know, in that, I feel very fortunate. And I feel very fortunate that you guys, I said to Gary when the show went off, and you know, I was in kind of a bad mood when I came on the show, tired, you know, really just tired and kind of grouchy. And then the computer did that, and I was so mad. And when it wouldn't reconnect, I said, I'm just going to have to tell him I can't do this anymore. You know, if the computer's not going to work right and the Skype's not going to work right, I just can't do this anymore. And I meant it in the moment, you know.
In your frustration, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. I meant it in the moment in my frustration. And then it came back on, and you guys were talking, and I really didn't know, because it took so long to get back on, if the show was going to be gone, because I thought there was some rule, if there was a certain amount of silence, that the show just goes away, and the chat room was full, and I was so disappointed, and it took me 5 minutes to step back and find the darn connection again, James. But anyway, when I came back on and you guys were talking and carrying the ball for the audience, for me, I was so grateful. You know, that's something for my gratitude list today, and I appreciate that.
I'm still here, in case you're wondering.
Talking about lists, And after I had my bad day yesterday of totally breaking down, before the end of the day, I made a list of what I was going to accomplish the next day to start with my new life, now that the emotional part, I've let it wash over me. So I made a list of the things that I wanted to do, like take a shower, do my laundry day, things like that, that I knew that I could focus on the next day. And I woke up today feeling refreshed and got started and did laundry, took a long bath, and just had a wonderful day by making a list of what I want to accomplish. Doesn't matter if I crossed them all off or not, as long as I just do one that's on the list, then I feel like I've accomplished a whole lot.
Yes, and you have. And you have, you know, even taking the action to write that list, to make those plans, and then to actually, you know, be following through with them, all of that is really empowering stuff.
Very much so, because if I had not had a focus before I went to sleep on what I was going to try to do today, to start with a fresh, get rid of the pain that I felt yesterday and start fresh today, I don't know that I wouldn't have gotten out of that moment. So by having that list sitting there waiting for me first thing this morning in front of my coffee pot, I knew what I wanted to do, and it totally refocused me on the positive and what I want to accomplish.
Right, and I think we'll be talking about that more and more as we inch toward New Year's. I want to recover from Christmas before, for a couple of days before I dive too far into New Year's. I think I said in the show notes, I don't, and Keith Anthony, yes, I do see you're there, and you can jump in like everybody else, but we were talking about, I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. I, like Keith Anthony, agree that it's setting yourself up to fail. I think, you know, if you want to try something or do something, try it or do it.
Get on it. Get it done.
Yeah, just do it, as Nike would say.
I've just been reading something in Facebook that somebody said to me that was quite typical. Let me see if I've lost it now. Goodness. Let me see if I can find it again. Where is it? Bear with me. Somebody's replied to a comment that I made, and he says, I was saying that when I had my coma, I was diagnosed as being clinically a vegetable, kind of thing. You know, there was no brain activity. So I was suggesting that proves to me that my mind, my cognitive thinking, was for a period living outside of my physical body. This guy comes back and he says, first of all, I'm glad to hear about your recovery. It's truly remarkable how the body can recuperate. So this is your typical person here who obviously doesn't know anything about the mind or the body or death, doesn't know what it's like to be injured, and he goes on to say, I would not see it as if your cognitive functions existed outside of your body, rather that your brain, your personal amazing computer, was set in, call it power save mode, and thus there was no activity to measure from the brain. Well, that's what I said, there was no activity, wasn't it? Just like if you put your laptop into sleep mode, there will be no electricity or just the power save circuitry active. Even though there is no power, the connections making up your brain are still there. The software does not leave the computer. So what he's saying, in effect, is we can go to the graveyard, dig up all those people, and they're all perfectly still okay, aren't they? And when you start up the computer, the brain, it will start working again. Depending on what damage has been caused, it might no longer work exactly as previously. So his grammar's not very good either, because I'll read that again. He says, when you then start up the computer, the brain, it will start working again, depending on what damage has been caused. it might no longer work exactly as previously. So he's saying it might not work exactly as previously before it wasn't, I think he's saying.
No, I got that. I got a good example. Gary and I went to the movies. We were going to go see Flight the other day, the one with Denzel. We got there, I handed the guy $20, and he says, you know, the movie's scratched. And I thought he meant scratched like they weren't showing it anymore or for some reason. And I must have had an odd look on my face, an inquiring mind look on my face. And he said, I mean lines. It's got black lines going through it. The guy's still holding my 20, and I'm like, and you think I want to pay to see that? Okay, it's scratched. And he looks at me and he goes, and we won't be getting a new clean version until after Christmas. And he's still holding my 20, and it's before Christmas now, okay? Yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, like, what time does Lincoln start? And it had started 5 minutes before, and so we wound up going to that. But, you know, there's your thing about the computer. You know, you really got to be careful with how you juggle that because, yeah, the computer is there. That movie was still there, but it wasn't – it was kind of worthless. You know, had scratches going all the way through it, and nothing was going to change that. And so you either decide you're going to watch the movie with the scratches and all, you know, and accept that.
You should get at least half price.
No kidding. The guy was going to charge full price.
My response to this guy, I wrote back to him. I said, thanks, Robert James, for your diagnosis. However, tests at the time showed the reason activity ceased was that my gray matter, particularly my frontal lobe, had been compressed into soup. That's why they call it traumatic brain injury. Why I was in coma, why I was paralyzed, and why I'm sometimes now an obstinate pain in the ass. And don't take kindly to any fools wasting up this time. Because I realize we all have a precious ticking clock.
We do.
Wanted to say that my brother-in-law was in an accident today in his car.
Oh.
And he did not hit another vehicle, but he did 2 360s and then hit the guardrail on I-78 here in Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
And he went home and said that he's fine. And I called and I told them, get him to the hospital and get a CT scan. He might feel fine, but with that kind of a whip around and then a blow back and forth, in a week he might have a bleed, an aneurysm, and he might die or have brain injury. So they need to get it checked out. So I'm praying that they will do what I ask them to.
And even better than that, a PET scan. It reveals...
Yes. Whenever I get into an accident, even if I'm not injured, I go to hospital and I say, I've got a headache. I've hurt my neck. Please examine me.
Yeah,
because if you don't say that, they don't do it.
He's been through 2 heart attacks and 4 stents, so he's a tough guy and not like to admit when he's in pain. So he might have a headache and won't tell anybody.
Yeah.
So his wife, my sister, is an EMT, and I told my mom to tell her she has to get him to the hospital and get a brain scan of him, a CT scan or a PET scan or an MRI to make sure there is no bleed in there or swelling.
Well, that for sure, but if he's got such a heart history, I'm sure an accident probably sent his anxiety and blood pressure through the ceiling.
No telling what it could have done, yeah.
Yeah, good idea to
get that checked.
It
just reminded me that a couple of weeks ago I went blind for 3 hours and I haven't been seen by anybody except for my GP, and she sent me off to an optician. I phoned the opticians. The optician said, why have they sent you to us? You should go to the hospital. But I haven't been because the GP doesn't seem to care, and so I'd forgotten all about it until just then.
Well, people don't routinely go blind for 3 days. I'm surprised your GP didn't handle it a little differently.
No, it was 3 hours. 3 hours.
I'm sorry, 3 hours.
3 minutes is too long.
Yeah, I was going to say, people don't routinely go blind for 3 minutes, but...
Well, I wouldn't call it a routine 3-hour blindness. I was just blind for 3 hours.
Right.
But going blind was the symptom of my brain aneurysm when it happened. I actually, when I had the brain aneurysm, my vision rapidly started deteriorating from the left side to the right, where I could see something not much larger than the tip of a pencil out of my right eye.
Yeah. I could see, but what I was seeing was like a psychedelic.
Wow.
You know, my entire field of vision was just psychedelic.
Me too. Like when you're gonna, like when you feel like you're gonna faint.
Yeah.
You know, you have that funny stuff in front of your eyes.
Yeah,
I wasn't fainting at all, but I had that.
Close my eyes, and I had to lay down, and because I'm thinking I'm going doolally or something.
Yeah, something.
Okay.
Well, you should have that checked out. It seems like the vision problems are something that comes with the brain trauma.
Yeah. I had it a couple of months back. It wasn't quite the same, but I was looking at my computer screen, you know. And you know how you navigate? You click on buttons and you follow what's on the screen because you know where you want to go. And I was trying to navigate my screen, but I couldn't make sense of where I wanted to go. It was really, really weird. I just couldn't follow. I couldn't make sense of my mind, or it was just nonsense. I was not able to. I couldn't track the lines on the screen. They were sort of moving all over the place.
Yeah. After my accident, because I am legally blind, I blew my left pupil, but I can still see out of my left eye. I was completely blind for over 3 months.
Oh, my God.
Everything had to be handed to me, and I could not even find my mouth to feed myself. And it took me a long time, and the Internet and Brain Injury Radio with the chat room to focus on my vision and pay attention to what I was seeing and reading, and that has helped me with my vision so much that I can now see, as long as I don't scan or look around quickly, if I focus and then move my eyes and then focus again, I can see great. I just will never be able to drive again. Which I don't have a problem with, because there's crazy drivers out there.
Yeah, don't want to be doing that. Well, it sounds like those vision problems are pretty common. My vision isn't good either. I have to blink a lot to get things to come back in focus, and I've got a lot of light sensitivity, and that part never went away, I guess. And I think a lot of times that's where some of those headaches come from, is the eye strain.
Well, I just wanted to say this because I heard both of you talking about your eyes. Did you know there's cognitive therapies to help you regain some vision with your eyes that may be there that you can't see because of your brain injury, hiding it from you literally? I know some people that are going to see a cognitive visual, I can't think of the exact title, eye doctor, that retrains them how to see. In the places that they're not seeing from, it's the brain is literally tricking them that they can't see in places that they actually can. I didn't know that was possible, but
neither did I. I certainly didn't have anyone from the medical profession around here tell me that.
I'm trying to think of what it's called. I might not be wording it right, but
is
I know
it
some people.
Neuro ophthalmologist.
That might be it. That might be it. I'm forgetting. That sounds a lot like it.
There's
I know one lady in particular.
Rick,
one lady in particular that I know, she was told never to drive again, and she's driving again.
Wow.
Well, legally, because I have a blown pupil and I'm considered legally blind, I will never be allowed to have a driver's license. But I also find that I love to do interior decorating. So I sit on my couch and I will actually scan my house and sit in different positions and look around, so I'm able to scan my surroundings where I was not able to do before. So it's like I'm training myself how to see.
Okay.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of us have got to train ourselves back to some kind of functional state. But
well,
it's really
me.
Nice, Les Paul, that you find these places that actually help people.
Yeah. Well, where I work, we have a hospital that works with us. It's Walton Rehabilitation Hospital, and I work at Walton Options. They're not the same company. They're like sister companies that are related but not the same companies. And some of the same people work there, and then they come over to where we work. They have a publication called the Walton Independent magazine that comes out every 2 or 3 months, and it has a lot of this kind of information. You might want to look it up online and see if you can find any of it.
Yeah, I'll do that. There's a guy, Rick, who comes to the Monday night show, and he has had a lot of success with a neuro, I think it's a neuro-ophthalmologist.
I think you're right. I'm pretty sure that's it.
Yeah, we'll have to check him out on a Monday night. He's always at Craig's show. Rick, and then there's numbers behind it, like Rick 1959 or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's Rick. He's the only Rick, I think, that's a regular on Monday nights. But we'll have to, in fact, sometime we'll have to find him if Craig's still on the line and anyone knows how to get a hold of him. One of us ought to grab Rick to be a guest and tell us about what he's been doing along those lines. Because it's really brought him a lot of success.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. Jenny was saying she lives in the poorest county in the state of PA, and they don't really have the services there. And I can't say that about where I live. I can say they don't have the services, but we're probably the wealthiest county in the state. So, I don't know, luck of the draw, I guess. Hard to say.
Would have to travel with somebody else's help over 45 minutes, possibly an hour, to Reading or Philadelphia to get help as a TBI survivor because there is nothing here.
Wow, that's really a shame that this
is.
I mean, considering mine happened in 95 and nothing much has changed here in this city. It's just
well, that is why you guys in Brain Injury Radio is so important to me and others because there are so many out there that have no resources, and you guys are our resource.
Well, we try. We try to bring some of them to the table that we know about, that's for sure, and if nothing else, it's support in the fact that resources are hard to find sometimes.
That's right.
People tell us what works and, you know, maybe what doesn't work, but what works for one, you know, may or may not work for the other.
Well,
I
also believe that if somebody has not walked a mile in my shoes, I'm not going to relate or be able to listen to that. Different destination, but I learned so much more from somebody that has walked a mile in my shoes than I will ever learn from somebody that's educated and trained.
That's right.
Jenny, I'm going to get funny looks if I walk a mile in your shoes. Stilettos just don't look right.
Only if they're
on heels. I'm always up for adventure, but you know I'm going to get funny looks.
I wear slip-on shoes, and they're all flat-soled because I have ataxia, and I have no center of gravity. I will never have a center of gravity. I don't even know if I'm falling until I've hit the floor.
Ooh.
So I've learned to pass as I dust myself off and pick myself up, and don't care about anybody else around me. If nothing's broke or I don't need to have stitches, it's all good.
So do people routinely help you when you fall?
No. Well, if I have somebody with me, yeah. But normally,
if I
fall, I just dust myself off, and while I'm doing it, I laugh at myself. And I don't care if anybody else is looking because they don't matter. What matters is that I'm safe and I'm okay. I get my balance and I just go on my way.
Well,
okay.
That's a good thought.
We need some Nerf bodysuits for some of the people posting messages, I hear. So when you fall, you just bounce right back up.
Yeah, what is that artist in there? Is that Keith Anthony doing more of his graphics?
That was me. I was putting 2003, but James Larkin put a message in before I could put the bottom of the numbers in.
Oh, I thought
so 2013.
2013,
that's 2003. Well, no, it would be 2013, except that I didn't get the bottom of the numbers put in because everyone else started pasting them their text in before I finished putting it in.
I can see that now that you say it. Before,
yeah, me too.
It was a maze, but when you said it, I recognize it now.
I thought it was Pac-Man at first.
Yeah, because you can only put you can't put in there's not enough room in the chat box to put in the full number of characters. You have to put it in two sections. Almost got it in.
I was able to see it and understand it, so it's great.
I suppose I could try again if you promise not to type anything in.
Okay, well then everybody take a break for 3 minutes.
I took my fingers off the trigger, the keyboard.
Yep, sit back and take a break
for the celebration of a new year, a new start, a new future, and a new life.
Amen. That sounds great.
Amen, and I'll give you, Keith Anthony, you have 3 minutes and 27 seconds. Everybody sit back, breathe, enjoy this song. This is a little slower boot scoot for you, Jen. You guys have heard it before, and you know it's our favorite contractor, HTE.
I know it's your favorite because you got your bathroom done.
Because I got my bathroom done, that's right. So here is...
That's the best I can do with it, I'm afraid, because it's got Brain Injury Radio through it.
Oh,
they can read it.
Like 2003. Oh, 2013, there's the one.
It's definitely 2013.
Okay. Well, I was going to play our favorite contractor.
Well, I have to say, he might not have been your favorite contractor while you didn't have your bathroom.
I hated
it. I've seen your bathroom, and it is beautiful, hon.
Yeah, thanks. I really enjoy it now. That 50s blue tile was kind of getting to me. I lived with it for a long time. But, yeah, you're right. This guy's name is Brooke Morehouse, and I hated him when he was in my house. But I love him now that he's gone. It's kind of like a relationship sometimes, isn't it?
His music really grew on me, too.
Shall I play you a tune?
No, I'm just getting ready to play one.
No, I'm going to play Winsome Benjamin, because you seem to be having trouble finding yours.
No, I'm not. People are talking, so I'm just going to play it.
I've got my finger on the button. I could play it right now.
You got it.
Then I just have to do, but you're never alone. I close my eyes. You're right where you belong. You're never alone, even when I'm called away from home. I'll keep you with me even when I'm gone. So you're never
Contractor.
I just think that's so cool how you got his music.
I do too. He gave us permission. The guy, again, you know, he gave us permission to use this. This was a band that was together, and they made the CD, and they, you know, saved all of their pennies to get however many CDs they had to buy, you know, to be able to get a run of them. And then their band wound up breaking up, so they've got a box of CDs in their basement. And he was just happy that their music was being played. When I posed it to him, I said, I've got a internet radio show, and it's played all over the world. And we had been talking about, God knows we had enough time to talk when he was here. he heard that, and his eyes lit up, and he talked to the other band members, and they were just pleased as punch that their stuff was even being heard. So that's nice. But what we got to do is find starving artists who want to be heard. But
all I know is I do not know anything about it other than I know it's Never Alone. But I wrote down that it brings me so home, because country is in my heart and in my soul, because that's where I'm from, is North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when I heard the word home, I was like amazed, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's singing right to my soul.
This is so cool. It's funny how we all pick up on different things in a song, and even you can hear it more than once, and something different will resonate with you depending on your mood, and each time you listen to it. It's kind of cool the way that works. But now I'm going to do something naughty, since I was authorized, my authorized music. The other night, Keith Anthony was singing several songs by Hillsong, and I had one of their holiday songs, and I told you guys that I really, really, really liked one of their regular songs. And
okay.
I believe that they are a mega church. Oh, God, James, you're going to leave right before I'm unauthorized? Send me that Monopoly card, man.
Tell him sometimes it'll last longer than you think, because mine beeped for 20 minutes the other day after it was dying.
Yeah, yeah. Stay till it's totally dead. Just stay till it's totally gone. Anyway, this is a little more, I usually play lighter beat, but when you think about it, happiness, oh good, I will get probably 5 minutes. Okay, all you need is six. Okay, this song, when you think about it, I've heard before a saying, happiness is an, is an inside job, meaning we have to cooperate, and there's things that we have to do to be instrumental in creating happiness in our life if there's going to be any. And I heard this song. It's a little different than some of the stuff I play. I believe this comes out of a mega church. I think Hillsong United is a mega church out of Australia. But I've really liked a number of their songs, and this one is called Inside Out. I was hoping maybe you were going to sing this one the other night, Keith Anthony, but here's a new one you can learn and put on your sing list. So, again, this is Hillsong with Inside Out. I hope you enjoy it. Again, that was Hillsong with the song Inside Out. And James was talking about the soul. I apologize for that. He was talking about based on the size of their congregation. I've gotten a couple of iTunes music videos of these guys, and they are in a room that is as big as a stadium. Huge.
Oh.
Huge, huge congregation. If you have a chance to check them out. In fact, I know they have a couple on YouTube. I got this from, I bought it from iTunes, but I know that Hillsong does have a couple things on YouTube. You should check them out. And he's right, they do have a couple of different, several different singers. There's a couple of gals and a couple of guys, but for some reason the songs that resonated a little more for me, it's the same guy who's singing them, and I don't know who he is. I think he does a really good job, but that was my unauthorized offering for the night. Hope you enjoyed it. I think when I go back in the studio, I did delete most of the holiday songs, and I'll get the rest of those out of there so we have room in the studio, and I think I'll raise up the, not the volume, but the other volume on this before I play it next time if you liked it. But we're running down to about 4 minutes left in the show, so do you have any closing comments?
I just want to say thank you all, because last night I needed support. Usually I call in and I try to be manic happy and supportive and really right on what everybody's doing, and last night was my night of being totally in the toilet. And you guys were a blessing to lift me out of that.
Aww.
So thank you.
As you've done for all of us, Jenny, I think that's the reason why we're here, is to bring each other up. And, you know, I think we borrow on each other's energies when we feel
that's right.
Like the rock is too hard to carry ourselves, like tonight. The rock was too big for me to carry myself, and a couple of gentlemen stopped in and helped me carry it till I was strong enough to do it myself. And I think that's, as much as that really ticked me off, I think that, not you helping, but the situation, I think that
yeah.
kind of demonstrates what we're doing here.
It sure does. That's part of the medicine of our radio shows.
It's one helping hand to another.
Exactly.
Yep, pretty darn awesome. Well, okay, then I want to thank you all for being here tonight. I want to thank our audience for tuning in tonight. I want to thank our sponsor, Gordon Johnson, attorney at law. His website is tbilaw.com. If you need any legal help or assistance or guidance in back of your TBI, make sure to check them out. Again, Gordon Johnson at tbilaw.com. Thank you, Craig, our chief here at Brain Injury Radio, who's allowed the rest of us hosts to help each other, ourselves, and you guys. I really appreciate you guys all being here. And I'm just going to let the last couple of minutes fade out, and it'll cut out on her, but... Well, no, I'm not going to do that. I hate it when people do that. Okay, forget about it. We got 2 minutes left.
We could really think of some great things to say in, like...